I heard these stories from from people that I couldn't relate to, and they sure didn't look like me. And I had no desire to be a size two. My family didn't ostracize me for overeating. In fact, they encouraged me because I was a sickly child, and was encouraged by my family, my parents, the doctors to eat more, gain weight, you'll be better. And so I did. And the more I ate, the happier they got. Yippee. Okay. I'm not going to judge any meeting formats. Hindsight is 2020. And I knew though that OA was the place for me, but maybe that not that particular place. But I kept coming back there and relapsing after relapsing and relapsing for what, maybe 15 years in and out, back and forth, round robin. I see now that one of those things that they ke it kept me out of the rooms, and then again brought me back into the rooms because of my search for that easier, softer way, that loophole, the back door. All right, I didn't have to do all of this stuff. I was already in relapse at that time, didn't even know it. I was really still looking for the easy way out without having to really do the work. I didn't want to do the work. I just wanted to lose the weight. I had every OA book imaginable on my bookshelf, never opened them. I thought that by having all of these OA books that somehow recovery, I would assimilate recovery when I walked past the bookshelf, it would just come at me. Really sick thinking. That was what my disease and where my disease had me. In fact, actually, when I was out in relapse and of my many relapse, I think now back, and I can remember in the 60s and 70s they used to say, the peace movement would say, what if we gave a war and nobody came? And that's what I was doing during my relapses. I was giving wars, all right? Nobody there but me. And I sat at a table, which was a smorgasbord of all of my binge foods, generous helpings of fear, anger, self-righteousness, self-centered, ego tripping, and the like. The main course again was my binge foods so that I could numb the effect of all the appetizers. And this went on and on. It was a cycle. All right, I'd give these wars and then stuff the food down there to numb the negative and heartbreaking feelings that I was having. It was sort of but I always deep down knew that there was a place for me, and that place for me was in OA. That was the solution. It was just getting back there. And it was so hard putting together, sometimes a day, a week of abstinence was just a struggle because I was trying to do it myself. I didn't avail myself of the tools, although I knew basically what they were. I didn't have a sponsor. My disease was telling me, you can do this yourself. You don't need to go back there and hear that stuff. You can handle it. All right, you'll get there. Don't worry, I got you. Well, my disease really did have me, and it kept me out of the rooms for many, many, many times when I really, really, really needed to be in the rooms. That's that notion that just hung around, that easier, softer way, that loophole, was really, really exacerbated when the COVID quarantine hit. This was my last relapse. Thank you, God. All right. And, I was in my glory because and also I was in my deepest pit because I could isolate. I had an excuse. All right. I had permission. All I would do is to I could be as angry and fearful as I want. I had a reason, you know, this stuff was going around. I sat there alone in my house, you know, the only connection to the outside world, because I had cut OA loose, was cable news, Uber Eats, Instacart. You know, I call these my drug dealers, because I was immediately able to get a feed, all right, of binge foods, just on the computer, pick out what I wanted, maybe ringing the doorbell by the time I hung up. And then listening to the bad news on cable news and getting more and more depressed. And I, you know, I just said to myself, you know, if I'm going to die of this thing, I'm going to die happy. I'm going to have all my binge foods. I'm going to eat what I want. And when they take me out of here, it'll be with a smile on my face, because I've had everything I wanted to have. Wow. I can't believe how I fell into such a deep hole. It was sort of, I was turning my back totally on God. And no matter what he did, you know, I didn't trust him. You know, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit here and enjoy myself with this food. And when he comes to get me, or maybe not, he won't come to get me, somebody else will, I'm going to be happy. All right. What is happiness? Stuffing myself and numbing myself and sitting in the house by myself, fearful, stuffing food down my throat to assuage these fears and angers and hurt that I was harboring. Wasn't going to work. And, you know, I'm so grateful that God didn't give up on me. He didn't listen to me saying that I was going to leave here happy and stuffed with food. There was just a number of things, and I look back now and it was God in action, because I know I didn't do any of them. You know, he enabled me to get my vaccinations, all right, with a relatively short waiting list. And then a face-to-face meeting opened. And then my disease that had been pumping iron for, you know, a long time, strong and ready to rumble, said to me, you can't go back there. Look at you. You weigh more now than you've ever weighed in your entire life. You got to lose weight before you go back. All right. You'll be embarrassed. They'll look at you and they'll find out that you've been lying about all of this wonderful abstinence that you have been enjoying through COVID, you know, but I didn't succumb to that. You know, I went, God won out. Thank you, God. And I was welcomed back with air-spaced hugs and really being able to have taken that first real honest step toward truthful, honest abstinence and recovery, not necessarily abstinence, that was a part of it, but recovery. And at that meeting, when the sponsor call went out, only one person raised their hand and said they were available to sponsor. And who was it but the very first person I had ever heard share in OA back in 2007? Is this not God in action? You know, he's banging me on the head saying, look, look at what I'm doing. Look at what I can do. All right, if you just let me. And so I was propelled at the end of that meeting. You know, I didn't walk under my own power. It's like two hands just pushing me across the room. And I said, I remember you from when you first talked, and can you sponsor me? And she was just overjoyed. She said, yes, you call me tonight at 7. All right. If she had told me to call her tonight at 3 in the morning, I would have done it gladly, because I was willing. That the one thing that I didn't have before, I had now, I had at that point, was willingness. And when we talked that night, I asked her, I said, look, I know you're going to sponsor me, but this is what I want. Can we come to an agreement? Bargaining again, okay? I told her, I said, look, I want you to treat me as if I never worked the steps, that I didn't know OA from a can of paint. I had never opened a big book, all right? To shoot me down when I got smug and was a know-it-all, all right? Call me when she thinks I'm not telling the truth, because I had a tendency not to tell the truth a lot. So in other words, I was really, really then willing to go any length, to any length, and do everything that I could to once again enjoy true, honest, okay, God-driven recovery. And that night, I was checked into what we laughingly call the recovery ICU. I said, 7 p.m. every night, daily calls, reading the big book and having it read to me. I got a new blank big book so that I wouldn't be tempted to look at the stuff that I wrote down before, perhaps when I was under the influence, a brand new blank big book, because this was a brand new blank Valerie, all right, who was reading this book and understanding and digesting it for the very first time in all of those years. And each evening, it was like, wow, I was getting what I needed. I was getting what I had missed all the years of being in and out, back and forth, around and around, searching for that easier softer way once again. What I did was I, for the first time, honestly and truthfully and thoroughly cleaned out my pantry and my refrigerator. All right. Had a stack of stuff on the table that I was kind of like holding on to just in case. A lot of it had expired, but it was still there. What could I do with this? My mother said, you don't throw food away. There are children starving in China. So I said, what can I do? And I said, what can I do, God? You know, what will you have me do with this, God? And I mean, it was so simple. Figure out how much the food was worth, write a check and mail it to your local food bank. Done. The food was gone, went in the garbage, no guilt. All right. A clean, fresh start in the pantry, clean, fresh start in the fridge.
15 minutes past.
Oh, okay. All right. So actually, for the first time, stuck with a real food plan, committed my food to my sponsor honestly every day. She used to call it my prescription for recovery. So I would write my prescription out every day and send it to her. But, you know, most of all, the part that I had missed so much was building my faith and trust in God one day at a time, keeping my spiritual mirror, which I call when I take a look at myself and I look at my, you know, I do my inventories. I do those things that I need to do on a daily basis. And when any smudges appear in my spiritual mirror, that may block my conscious contact with God. Which for me is living and working in steps 10, 11, and 12. I'm immediately on it. I remove those smudges so that God's light can reflect back on me. So my spirituality can reflect back on me. And it's not my will, it's God's will be done for me. And, you know, I find that I really have found that easier, softer way that I searched for years and years. And that easier, softer way for me is turning my will, turning my life over to the care of the God of my understanding and let him do the work. And that's the easier, softer way. No other way but his way. So I'm grateful today that I'm in God's care. I returned from my last relapse. I think it was maybe toward the end of July. And I feel like a brand new person. I've lost weight, but I have gained so much spiritual weight. And that's what leaves me to where I am today, one day at a time. So I hope I didn't go over. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Valerie H. That was perfect. Thank you so much. Okay. We will hear next from our last speaker, and that is Mike B. Mike's going to be talking to us about long-term abstinence. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Brian. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike.